As I was sitting there Sunday morning, when Crystal was such a great job she did on that soul tie, and it was so amazing because tonight was going to be the night that we had discussed that I would share some things with you all. And as I was sitting there, the Lord gave me three words that most of us, and I can say for myself, all three of them was with me, and it was three words that he gave me. He gave me cell phone, children, and church. Sometimes them are some of our biggest soul ties. And if we ain't careful, we'll be caught up in it and not even realize that we're caught up in it, because do everyone know what a soul tie is? Soul ties are, I can tell you in my word, but I'm going to tell you in the biblical word. A soul tie is where we have been bonded or attached and become one with someone or with something. And, you know, we all know what the word of God says. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto us. Sometimes we are dependent on a cell phone because it's so easy to get hold to someone, or can, instead of going to Jesus and telling him all about your troubles, you go tell one of your friends. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want true deliverance, true healing, take your troubles to Jesus, because he really do care. Because his word says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares. How many of y'all know all is nothing left at all? Say, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Church, he really do care for us. As I started out telling you all the things, I was in the streets, selling drugs, doing this and doing that. Nothing that was godly. But I'm here tonight to testify that God allowed me to come out of that thing smelling like a rose. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And I tell you, I have so many friends here tonight. I just thank the Lord for everybody. I consider everyone under the sound of my weak voice my friend. I really do. Because some kind of way, I don't know if it was a word, a smile, a hand wave or something, you all don't realize y'all have touched me some kind of way. And I thank God for my church family. And I can't go too far. I got to thank God for my family, my beautiful wife, Maria. I thank God for her. She had been by my side when she didn't really have the right to stay by my side. You know, I just have to be honest, you know. I just thank God that we worked through some trials and tribulations, because we were separated twice. But God said the only way you can be separated is to be reconciled back together. So I'm telling you, church, it's okay to be separated. But one person I know you don't ever want to be separated from is Jesus, our best friend. And then I tell you, if you stay hooked up with him, when you do be separated, you'll be hooked back up. Because me and my wife, we are hooked back up and serving God. And I just love Jesus for when he steps in and say, it's not finished. And then in the end, he say, nah, it's finished. And I just thank him for it. I thank him for his word. I thank Brother Dismuth. Me and Brother Dismuth go a long ways back. He's one of my friends. But I tell you what, you can't have a better friend than Jesus. And a cell phone, a lot of times you'll find yourself looking at things that you shouldn't need to look at. Remember when I said soul ties are something you done connected yourself to or done got attached to, something or someone. That cell phone is something. You have to be careful, because I'm going to tell you about my, when I first got a cell phone, probably about 18, maybe 20 years ago. I don't really rightly know, but I tell you what, I was still a little wild when I got that thing, and it didn't do nothing. Every time I would touch it, it would almost corrupt me, because you can pull up anything you want to see on a cell phone. Anything. And then not only that, but you can not only pulling up anything, but you find yourself gossiping, talking about one another. If you're not talking about them, you text it about somebody, something that is not godly, something that God didn't create us to do. Because the Bible said what? Keep God first. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says the second commandment, what? Love one another. You cannot love one another when you're talking about one another. You know, I was looking at TV when that guy from Virginia run into that crowd and killed that lady. And I just said, Lord, forgive him. He know not what he do. Because, see, you cannot have Jesus running into a crowd of people like that. And instead of me downing him and talking about it, which about 3 years ago, I'd have been so mad, and what good would it done? But you know what I did? I said, Lord, forgive him. He know not what he do. And I just thank God that I'm learning how to trust in him, and not in no cell phone, not in people, but in God. Because the word says all things are possible with God. And what's impossible with me is what? It's possible with God. Thank you, Sister Evelyn. You on that word tonight, girl. Thank you. God bless you. You my friend too, girl. I'm telling you, I love everybody here tonight. And you know, in a cell phone sometimes get us on the wrong track. And the biggest thing that I believe with a cell phone, and I'm not saying for you one that love the Lord and don't entertain those things that go on a cell phone, but I've heard people on Facebook, and then I heard people when they text. I'm here to share with you tonight about a cell phone versus God's word. Spend more time reading the text than texting on your phone. And I tell you, you'll find yourself in good spirits. Then not only that, you won't find yourself, how can I put this, talking about someone or entertaining the enemy, getting the enemy ground to take your joy. Because, see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without that joy, we don't have the strength to endure and to do the things that God so would have us to do. And then on that, like I say, don't spend too much time texting, because I know this church, they texting about Jesus, praise God. And you know, but it's just so tempting. You'll get caught up in it and you won't even recognize it. I'm a living witness. I was doing some of everything with that phone. But the thing about me, every time I go to doing something wrong, it's something inside of me. Don't let me just go too deep and get too attached to it. I find myself falling on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against thee, Lord. Please forgive me. And give me strength to overcome this. See, a lot of time we don't cry out unto the Lord. We cry out unto one of our friends or cry out unto someone that we think loves us. And not saying they might not love you, but true love is who? God. God is love. That's what the word tells me. God is love. So if you really want to be loved, find yourself spending time with God and not on that cell phone so much. Because I know everybody says it's a necessity, but when I first come in this world, didn't even have a landline phone, let alone a cell phone. And I'm here tonight to tell you it's okay. I made it and y'all are making it. So I do, I'm just telling you, then on Facebook, the word cell phone, when he gave me cell phone, I said, well, Lord, what is it? And he said, them two things, texting and Facebook. And there's some good things on Facebook. Don't be leaving out here talking about, he must ain't never read my page. I'm talking about the pages that don't need to be read, don't even need to be seen. The cure to that, and if you got that problem, I'm going to give you a cure to it tonight. Instead of being on Facebook, I dare you to put your face in this book and then see what Facebook will bring you. And then as we move on, we're going to go to cell phone, children. So many times, you know, they precious to our heart. Children, if you would, go to Matthew 10:37. So you won't leave here talking about, I love my kids. I ain't tell you not to love them. I'm going to tell you what God's word said about it, though. Not tell you nothing, because what he said, that second commandment, to love ye one another. But we don't supposed to put anything before God. Anything before God. Matthew 10:37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, here go the good part, so y'all can see. Now, what are you talking about, these children? And he who loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. See, that's what the word says. And a lot of time, we don't mean no harm, church. I believe if I would tell everybody to stand up who have put their children before God, the whole church would have to stand. Because it's a process, because the love, because we know we're supposed to love them. And we know we're supposed to protect them and care for them. But sometimes we get in the way of God. The children belong to God. And God gave us charge over the children to order the children into his word, not into the ways of the world or what we think. Because the word, my word tells me, Romans 12 and 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm here to tell you, if you want your mind renewed, get into the word of God. I'm a living witness. If it wasn't for the word of God, I wouldn't be here tonight. I don't even think I'd be alive tonight without the word of God. God's word is true, and it does what it says it's going to do. And I'm telling you, what do it says in John 8:32, I believe. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm a living witness of that tonight. It will do just what it says it will do. And then it goes right on a little while long in Corinthians, and it says, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, liberty. Ms. V, you're right. It says liberty, but liberty means freedom. And I'm here. That's what we're here for tonight, church, freedom. I bet you all wondering what y'all got that sheet of paper for. I tell you what, give me about another 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, that piece of paper, I pray to the Lord that it set you free, make your souls ties to Jesus and not unto these things that I'm mentioning. And some of these things that I'm mentioning might not be your soul tie, but just think of something that is your soul tie. As you elaborate on what I'm saying, it might not be the cell phone, might not be the children, but just think about what it could be. Because we want to get it away. We want Jesus to be first in our life. If you want Jesus to be first in your life, say amen. All right, we got a crowd here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will set us free some from all of these cares of the world, Lord. We really do, Lord, and we thank you for it. And with our children, you know, the thing is about that, know for certain. I want y'all to know for certain that Jesus requires loyalty from us. He requires loyalty from us. And the old saying was, if you keep him first, what will he do for you? Keep you first. Don't be a sad girl. You own it. Keep you first. I'm telling you that when we get together, we're supposed to be able to laugh and rejoice and enjoy God's word and be truthful and to witness to God's word. So many churches you go to, they won't even say amen. But my word tell me, if you agree with God's word, it's going to be a blessing unto you. And amen means so it'll be. When these preachers get up here and preach, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised what it does to them to hear you agree to God's word. I would hate to have a church and I was up preaching and I never heard an amen. I probably would have to have a meeting the next Wednesday night and find out what is going on. Why are y'all not agreeing to God's word? There's something got to be wrong with you when you can't say amen or agree to God's word. Because we just said what? You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So when you saying amen, you're agreeing to God's word. And you'll be set free too. I'm telling you, made free. I ain't gonna say set free. Because sometimes you can set somebody free and next week they bound again. But see, with God it's a process. Philippians 1:6 say that great work that he have begun in us shall be completed till the coming of Jesus Christ. So what I'm telling you here tonight is just a step by step. Don't get excited just because you pray tonight. Don't nothing happen tomorrow. God is not a microwave. He's a God that cares for. His words say, I chasten those whom I love. So when you're going through, don't be all, man, God, why did this happen? He loving on you. He loving on you. Sometimes we ask for some things. It's not that he don't want to give them to us, but a lot of times we're not ready for it. Instead of drawing us to him, it'll draw us away from him. So if you believe in for a great finances to come your way, don't give up. Don't give up. And then endure on where you at and what you're doing. And a lot of time what you need to do, examine yourself. You know, it's God's word says, examine me and show me my fault. and lead me into everlasting life. It's not quoted like that in the Bible, but that's what it means. So I don't want y'all to get out here talking about, now he got off tonight, but it all come together. So I'm telling you, church, if you children is taking God's place, I ask you tonight to give them back unto God and ask God to give you the strength to lead them into his righteousness. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. And we'll look at another, 1 John 1:3-4. And it'll tell you not to have those things, not to put things before him, but who to keep. It says that we have seen and heard. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be filled. Hallelujah. If you're wondering why you ain't got no joy, go to reading God's word. It just tell you right there what happened. Fellowship with one another and fellowship with Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's when your joy be filled. Keep Jesus first and watch your joy. You get up in the morning and when you see somebody else and they're not filled up, you just want to put your arms around them and whisper to them and say, Jesus loves you and I do too. We got to encourage one another, church. So many times we'll look at, I got it, so you get it on your own. But the Bible say, in order for us to gain, we got to lose. We must lose our life to gain Jesus' life. And sometimes it's laying ourselves aside and helping one another. Because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I tell you what, God didn't stop loving us because we did that. So when our friend of our loved one, they do something wrong, don't stop loving them. Don't stop loving. Because see, my word tell me, love covers a multitude of sin. And then it goes on a little deeper and it says, perfect love cast out all fear. And my definition for fear tonight, church, is F, it's false, E, evidence, A, appearing, and R, right. That's what fear is. If when you break it down, my definition of fear, false evidence appearing right. See, that's how the enemy tricked Eve in the garden, twisted God's word, made it sound right, but it wasn't. So sometimes we have to be careful of what we hear. And the main thing that I learned, if it don't line up with God's word, you ain't got to be mad or tell them off or nothing. Just say, okay, may God bless you. I'm out of here. You don't entertain foolishness. You ain't got to argue and fuss and do all that. You just say, oh, for real? Well, to God be the glory and may God help you and me. You put yourself in that airway, the fight won't spur up. Just say, and me. And get on away from there. And then don't go tell your sisters and your brother, oh, so-and-so ain't right. He come to church 30 years. He said so-and-so. Don't do that. Get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they say. Father God, forgive them, Father God. Because God, he loves us regardless of what. Now, but he hates the sin that we do. So don't think I done told you to go out there and sin because God love you. I know God forbid that. But I'm telling you, don't let the enemy fool you either by you beating yourself down because of something you did. If you truly repent of that thing, if God's word say what? He's faithful and just to forgive you. And I truly believe that. I truly believe God's word. And I'm telling you, when I'm talking to some of my friends or some of my employees or customers, you know, I had to learn a long time ago that I don't need to have the last word. Hallelujah. A lot of us, sometimes we want the last word, but I started studying God's word, and James 1:19 said what? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And sometimes, you know, that as I got to pondering on that, man, the Holy Spirit gave me a great revelation. Say, listen, I gave you two ears, but one mouth. I'm telling you, church, the less you use your mouth and the more you use your ears, you're going to be blessed. Because a lot of time, our biggest thing, and it tells you in James, is our mouth. We can't guard our mouth. And then you can go to the word, and the word say, Lord, guard my mouth that I may not sin against thee. Lord, that let me have your word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Lord, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, I had to do that, church, because I had a mouth that was filthy. And I thought I had to say the last word. But here this year, I just been sitting there listening and soaking in things. And I'm telling you, the best thing you can do is sit down and shut up and listen. I promise you it'll make a change. My whole house is doing good now because I took God on that principle. And I thank God for that. I'm telling you, because it's not just a one-way highway. It's a two-way highway. And you know what I'm telling you? Until we line up and do what God's words tell us to do, we're not going to have peace in our home. You're not going to even have peace in your heart. Because, see, God's word says peace surpasses all understanding. And when you get peace in your heart, that peace on compassion, all that understanding, when you hear some foolishness, you're not going to entertain that. I'm not going to lose my peace because whoever you fussing with, wife, husband, children, boss, or whatever, they didn't give you that peace. And I ask y'all, don't let them take that peace. Peace only come from our Heavenly Father. Amen. And I tell you, I get excited when it comes to God's word. And here lately, like I said, I've been just being quiet and just listening and letting God have his way. And I'm telling you, boy, it's been a blessing. Well, we're going to go to church now. We're about to end this thing. Remember I said cell phone, children, now we're on church. If you would, go to Matthew 16:18. I remember when Pastor Willis, when he preached this on the first time that you, in the New Testament, that church was, that they were speaking about the church. And I, you know, when I was getting this out, I thought about that because, I'm learning to listen more. And I'm getting so smart by listening. Hallelujah. I tell you, listening to make you smart. I'm telling you, it will. I'm telling you because, see, that peace, when you're listening, I believe you'll get more peace by listening than you will by talking. Now, talking, you can give your peace. But I tell you what, I'd rather listen and get peace. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Even my wife said amen. Praise God. I didn't think she could say amen, but I tell you what. I told you peace was in my house. My wife even saying amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 16:18. It says, and I also say unto you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I was reading that, and I was trying to break it down. And I said, up on this rock. Who is our rock, church? Amen, amen. And see, and that's the thing. So many people get that scripture there mixed up and tangled up. I'm not going to call no denomination tonight. But I tell you, if you listen to some of them on that one right there, this church we in, y'all, is going straight to hell. If you listen at them when they go to talk about trying to tell you what this, I'm going to break it down to you a little bit what that scripture means. And up on this rock, Jesus, it's referring to Christ, an immovable stone. See, can't nothing move Jesus. When you rooted and grounded in Jesus, you can't be moved. What people say about you, it don't move you. When people talking about you, it don't move you. I'm telling you, when people lying on you, it don't move you. See, the old saying used to say, the more you talk about me, the more I'm going to bend my knee. And you know, and I'm telling you the truth, it works, church. And, I just thank God for his word that we are learning how to do the things that he said do. But now I got a few things that I was listening at. A couple of my friends, they was telling me, and they about my age. Man, that alarm clock, I just don't know about that alarm clock. I be wanting to get up and spend time with the Lord. But I find myself hitting that alarm clock and just laying there. So if that's the case tonight, that alarm clock might be one of your soul ties. And in order to break that soul tie, I got a remedy for you tonight. It ain't in God's word, but I can almost guarantee it. If you was to put the alarm clock on your Bible and don't put it by your bed, put it across the room. And I guarantee you, if you love the Lord and you want to read his word, you won't have no excuses that the thing that they tell me, I ain't just me lying. I can't get up like that. I said, well, my goodness, you know, when that alarm clock go off and it's time to go to work, you don't go to work a couple of days and see where you at. Now, I'm telling you. But the thing is, if that's the case, too, you might need to check yourself. You might be letting your job be a soul tie. Might be putting your job before the Lord. And then you all of the things that you think is not coming together. Sometimes it's us. It's not God. We might need to examine ourselves. Say, well, I didn't spend no time with the Lord this morning. And I can't even buy me a sandwich for lunch. Else, deeper than that, if you don't pay those tithes. That's another whole, probably a series, probably a year of speaking on tithes and offering, because it is so good, church. And if you ever get that revelation, the way God's word will change you, tithes and offering will change you also, because that's God's word. And I'm telling you, it's exciting, church. And then it says on, and it says, and then Jesus, the rock, is the only foundation of the church. I'm telling you, if you ain't putting your trust in on the rock, you're in trouble, church. And then it goes on and says, I will build. Now, Peter was only one of the builders. Peter was the only one of the builders when he said, I will build my church upon this rock. Then it goes on and say, I will build the body of Christ, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the thing is about that, if you put God's word in you, you don't have to worry about what people say or what people doing all around you. Sometimes your kids get a little older. You know, when they say they're 21, they say they're grown. Well, some of them 18 say they're grown. But I want to know, how you grown and you still living under my roof? They tell me grown people are supposed to have a job and a place to live. So I'm telling you, watch yourself sometime, parents. You know, we are hindering our children sometimes. And I'm telling you, if we just watch ourselves, and like I said, for James 1:19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Church, say amen. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then we're going to get ready to put our papers in effect. And I'm just believing that God's word and your obedience, and for you to realize that it is something wrong in my life, to come lay it at Jesus' feet. And what we're going to do, church, it ain't going to have nothing to do with nobody reading what you write or nothing. What we're going to do, we're going to have a bag on this side and a bag on that side. And we're going to bring what your soul's tied, things that been hindering you. You wondering why your life ain't right. You wondering why your finances ain't right. You wondering why your marriage ain't right. You wondering why your children ain't right. Wondering why your church ain't right. I'm here to tell you, God's word says, if we would, let's go to give you a parable of the rich ruler when he didn't forsake all and follow Jesus. Let's go to Luke 14:25 right quick. And as we prepare to get ready to write our answers in, I'm going to read these scriptures for you right now, because I had an experience on this in my marriage. My first separation, I was down and out. And Pastor Jerry, I can't thank him enough. Every Saturday morning, me and him, we sit at the table. We'll have some counseling, or if he had to go to Little Rock to see someone or do something, I ride with him. And one Saturday morning, he came and he said, Son, he always called me son. He said, son, I got something hard to ask you. I've been struggling with it all night. He said, but God told me to do it. He said, I want you to come stay with me and get a family to home. And he said, no, don't give me no answer right now. He said, pray about it. He said, because it was hard for me, and I know it's hard for you. So when he had said that, we went on Little Rock. I mean, we had a good time, me and Pastor. You think Pastor don't know how to have a good time? You catch him and go to Little Rock with him one day and see what kind of fun you have. I tell you, I love Pastor. You know, when for a man to bring you into his house, it says a lot about a man. Because it's very few times the way the world is today, you can't invite another man in your home. It's sad to say, but it's true. But, you know, when somebody reach out to you like that, that's nothing but love, church. And I love my pastor, and I thank God for my pastors. And not only Pastor Jerry, but his wife had to okay it, too. And, you know, when you become one. And see, and he said, when I was talking about it, I talked to my wife about it, and she agreed. What it cause, you know what the word says, you know, if two or three can't, if you can't agree, it's going to be division. And for her to agree and okay that show you the kind of pastors we got, church. Now, you know, they love it and they want to see you do and want to see your marriages, because my Bible tell me it's two ways for you to get a divorce, and God, he's not pleased with none of them. But in spite of out in Israel when Moses was going on for them, when their heart got hardened and so far and this and that, Moses, you know, told them about a divorce. But when I got on into the New Testament, it says, if you catch the wife or the husband in the act of sexual activities. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 7, if the husband just leave and don't say nothing and just go somewhere, you got that right. Or if the wife just leave and go somewhere, you got the right. But other than being in church, you stuck. You stuck. Now, I'm telling you, if you do a God way, I'm telling you, and God way is the best way. I promise you. I promise you, because there's some consequences in this Bible when you don't do a God way. And I'm telling you, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. So I just almost beg you and ask you to get in God's word and keep God first in your heart. And let's just look at this promise that it says in Luke 14. It says 14:25. It said, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone come to me and does not hate his father and mother. Now, you know, a young Christian, when they hear that, hate his father and mother. This got to be Greek. How in the world are you going to hate your father and mother? But let's go on down a little bit more. Wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes. And his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. See, it's some things that we've been taught as we come into this world, and we haven't tried God's word on the situation. We just took somebody else's word. Don't get me wrong, sometimes your friend word is good, your mother word is good, your father word is good. But I tell you what, try God's word. As me and Brother Gorman always say, it's gooder. It's gooder. I love Brother George Gorman. He's just like a father to me, too. And every morning, Sunday morning, we have something good to say when we be talking about, how are you? I say, I'm gooder than you. And we just, and it's all right, church, to have fun with one another. And then it goes on to say, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For what are you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, rather he have enough to finish it. Least after he have laid the foundation, who is the foundation for us, church? Jesus. See, unless you lay that foundation, Jesus, and it is not been able to finish, all who see it begin to mark it, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or the king was going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him whom come against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still great way off, he sends a delegation and asks condition of peace. And it says, so likewise, Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And, you know, and I'm telling you, a lot of times, church, we got things sitting up on a high pedestal. And if it ain't none of Jesus, I ask you to take it down tonight. If you got something that you know in your heart and you're not sure of it and you don't know who it was, get your piece of paper out right now and write it down. And here in a minute, we're going to open up these altars and we're going to listen to a song. And we're going to bring our cares, because it was one of our cares, and we put it before him. But his words say, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. So what we got to do, church, we got to sit these bags here before you, and you take your time and write down something that you might not even been aware of. And maybe the word of God brought it out to you tonight and gave you an example of something, and watch your whole life change tonight. And I'm going to finish with one, because it's a promise that I received when I did what my pastor told me to do. And when Pastor Jerry told me that morning, that, and then I come, that was a Saturday morning, and then that Sunday morning I run in there and I run to Sister McRae. Me and her, we was talking. Brother McRae, he was in El Dorado, and Brother McRae, Sister McRae, she said, well, baby, the only thing, me being a woman, that I can tell you, a woman can think better at home than she can anywhere else. And then later on, that was that Sunday morning. Later on that Sunday night, I got in God's word. And I'm going to tell you where I went. I went to Luke 18, and we're going to read verse 24 and 30. And while we're doing that, prepare your heart and ask God. Take a deep breath and ask God, what is it that I have put before you? And let him know, I want to be your best friend. And you know, because Abraham, so many of us that time, and if you want to challenge yourself with your children, what did God tell Abraham? Abraham said, he told him to take his son up and what? And it was a sacrifice. And the thing is about it, how many of us tonight, if he was to tell us to take our daughters or our sons for a sacrifice, that's where your faith would be tried at, church. And some of these things that you're not even aware about got you burdened down, and you don't know why. This ain't right. That ain't right. You've been in church all your life. And see, sometimes you'll put the church before Jesus. And it ain't nothing wrong with coming to church and praising and worshiping and everything. But don't come to church to be seen or impress the pastors or try to get a position or try to do this and do that. Have your heart right, because the word do says in Hebrews 10:25, read it for yourself, that you must assemble yourself. And that's what we're doing here tonight, church. And I promise you, when God's children get together, the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's children. And I promise you, think about what you need to do and write it on there. And I'm going to give you my testimony. And when I obeyed Pastor Jerry, and then I went to Sister McRae, and she gave me a word, and I obeyed it, and it, you know, it's so amazing. And that Monday morning, what I called Pastor Jerry, when I got through reading the word, it's about 2:30 in the morning, because he said, "Hey, if you need anything, I don't care what time it is, to call me." And so, and I'm not the type that even call someone at that time, but the Spirit was so heavy on me. And most of the time, Pastor Jerry's phone ring, his house phone ring about 3 times, and the answer machine picked up. But this morning, praise God, hallelujah, one ring, and it was my daddy, Pastor Jerry. He picked up, and I told him, I said, if it wasn't so late, Dad, I'd come tonight. I said, but I'd be there bright and early in the morning for you to show me my boundaries in your home. And I'm telling you, church, when I did that, everything lifted off of me. And then I got, and then Pastor Jerry said, son, you just don't know how blessed you're going to be. And then I was reading later on, and I was reading these verses in Luke 18:24-30. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm sorry. 24. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who had riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? How hard is it for those who had riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Now, that ain't the right one, church. I got one. Let me see here. Leaving all to follow Christ. Luke 18:20. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. And what I thought was so hard, church, when I gave it to God, it was easy, church. So many times the enemy have us so blinded and have us walking in pride. Mine, and I'm telling you, when you go to get upset or when you ain't upset and you find yourself saying I this and I that and my this and my that, you're going down the wrong road, church. I can promise you, because it ain't nothing that we have done or nothing that we can do to deserve what Jesus did on the cross for us. You know, it's so we need to catch ourselves and watch what we say and what we do. Because what this verse said, the things which are impossible with man, when you think you down and out and you're talking to men or talking to your mother, talking to your father, I dare you, church, to try God. Look what it says. The things which are impossible with man, what? Are possible with God. So anytime you find yourself in a hardship or something hard to bear, I beg you to take your cares to Jesus and leave them there. And then Peter said, see what we have left all. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And he said to them, assuredly I say unto you, there is no one who has left house, parents, or brothers, wife. See, wife was my key on this one. That's what I had to leave. I had to leave my children and my wife, church. But I have got counsel from the next thing to Jesus in my life, besides my wife, is Pastor Jerry. And he had asked me to come stay with him. And he said, and this verse said, surely I say unto you, there's no one who has left house, or parents, or brothers, or wife, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now listen at the promise, church. Who shall not receive many times more in this present time. Today, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in the ages to come, eternal life. And I'm telling you, church, if you want your blessing here on earth, and then to enter into heaven and receive blessing, pick up God's word. As it says, meditate upon my word day and night, that you may prosper and be successful. And if you want to prosper and be successful, church, don't go to your jobs thinking that's going to do it. Jobs are going down every day, church. And I'm telling you, you don't put your trust in jobs or in your riches. You know what the rich ruler did in the word. The rich ruler came and Jesus asked him, sell all that you have and come follow me. And he left sorrowful. And then at that same night, his life was accounted for. So, church, if Jesus was to come tonight and ask you a question or put on your heart, what have you put before him, and ask you to leave that and come follow him, get up out of your seats and bring and put it in there. And we're going to say a prayer for you, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to let the devil have no more victory. We're going to receive the victory. Can you say amen? All right. If you would, just stand up on your feet. If you would, just start playing a soft song up there for me, Brother Kim. And I really enjoyed you all tonight. I prayed it. I said something, you heard something that's going to break away some of this bondage out of your life. Something that is going to make you, because it was prophesied, we're going to go higher and higher in the Lord. And we can't go higher and higher. If you put a bag of rocks in your pocket, you can't climb higher. But if you take that bag of rocks, come put it in these black bags tonight. I promise you, your burden's going to be light. Because in Matthew 11, come on, as you come, as I talk, come on, and because it says, my yoke is easy. That's his word, your church. It's easy. And my ways, and my burdens are light. That's his ways, church. His way is the light. And I just feel like something's going to happen tonight. I've been tussling and toiling with this 3 days, and I just thank God to see y'all come down, because something got to have you bound, because what the word say, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I I just thank God for you tonight. I'm lifting up your name as you come, Lord. As these bags fill up, we're doing what you said we must do, Lord. Said we must cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Father God, and as each and every one come tonight casting their cares upon you, do what only God can do. Lord, lift their burdens up off them, Lord. Set them free. Let them be free, Father God. Whom so the Son set free is free indeed. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Church, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. Don't let the enemy trick you and embarrass you and make you think. When the enemy tell you ain't nothing, say, I'm a child of the Most High. He said, we're going to be royal priesthood. He said, we are queens and we are kings. Church, we are somebody in Christ. We're somebody in Christ. We're somebody in Christ. We living in these days. These days here on earth, every time you hear something, every time you see something. And the reason of it is because they don't cast their cares upon Jesus, for he cares for them. And some of them don't know church, but we are blessed to be in a church that they teach us these things. And we learning and we learning. There's one church out of all the churches I've been to in my life. Victory. Victory is a church of love, church. It's a church of love. And you know, and we still are church, and we're still are, we people, we make mistakes. But when it boils down to it, I promise you, this is a church of love. And it's what the word of God says. It says, if you love me, you are what? Keep his commandment. And one of his commandments was to cast your cares upon me, for I care for you, church. Cast your cares upon you. If you can remember what you wrote, we're going to say a prayer together, church. Y'all just, when I quit, y'all say what I done said, and we're going to end in this, and we're going to believe God for what only God can do. I want everybody to join in. It's part of casting your cares upon him. It says, with the power and authority of Jesus Christ, I break my bonding and connection with, now whatever you say, you can say it out loud or say it down low. This is between you and God. It ain't between your church family, y'all. This is salvation. This is growing higher into Christ. Just take your time and tell him what you want. I'll give you a few minutes and just take your time. And now, come on with me and say, and reannounce any and all soul ties I break off and cancel the effect this soul tie I had on my mind, my will, and my emotions. In the name of Jesus, I take back the ground the enemy have gained in my soul by commanding the enemy to flee, and by recommitting of my soul to the Lord of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would purify and heal my broken heart. I ask that you would cleanse and renew my mind with your power. Realign my will to your will. Empower me to make healthy, godly choices. Please restore and refresh my emotions. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. And walk in your freedom the rest of the week, church. And I love you. I love you. I love you.